The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So here's a feast day for you, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. It's not a new feast day, but it's new to the Christmas season. This feast day has been celebrated since the 15th century. It originated with St. Bernardine of Siena, who found that people were dissolute and generally without morality in his time, and he wanted to do something about it. And so he wanted to draw attention to the holy name of Jesus, to try to give them something to think about, to give them something to pray about. And this feast was placed into the Christmas season because the name of Jesus was given 8 days after he was born. And 8 days after Jesus was born is January 1st, and now that's the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, so they wanted to have some place to place the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, so they put it on the 3rd of January. It was the first open day, okay? First day they didn't have anything else. But here's a little question for you to think about today. What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet, right? That's what Shakespeare said. What's in a name? Well, if you're an ancient Hebrew, a name has deep meaning. Not necessarily the case for any of us. When we give children names, sometimes it's a name based on a family preference or tradition, but usually it's just something that the parents like. When a Hebrew family in the time of our Lord or in the Old Testament gave a name had a deep meaning. And every name that's a biblical name has that meaning. Like my own name, James, for example. I hope that your name has better meaning than mine. My name means heel grabber. Okay? It means the supplanter. Because you remember the story of Esau and Jacob. And Jacob was born grabbing onto the heel of Esau, and then Jacob went and swindled Esau out of his inheritance by pretending to be Esau before his father Isaac. And Jacob and James is basically the same name. But when God gave someone a new mission, he gave them a new name. Abram became Abraham and Simon became Peter. And one of the greatest examples of names having meaning, I think, of all, is in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 2 hints very strongly that when we get to heaven, we'll be given a new name. A name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord, intelligible to the one who hears it. A name as a meaning for who you truly are. God created you. He knows who you truly are. I think that's a rather amazing thing to expect, that one day God's going to pronounce a name and you'll hear it and you'll know that that is who you truly are. But the Messiah had a true identity too. And he was anticipated by many names all throughout the Old Testament. They called him God, Hero, Wonder, Counselor, Father Forever, Prince of Peace, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Or as Isaiah said, Emmanuel, God with us. But all of this was summed up in the name that the angel gave to Mary in the Annunciation. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Yeshua means God is my salvation, or God saves. And if you want to take it a step further, the name Christ, of course, Christos, means the anointed or king. So when you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, you're making a tremendous statement of faith. Somewhat loosely translated, it means God is my salvation and my king. What's in a name? A lot of power. And you know, God says, don't take my name in vain. You ever notice that, you know, nobody ever takes the name of Buddha in vain, right? Nobody ever gets really angry and says, oh, Muhammad, right? Oh, Confucius. No, those names don't have power. But the name of God, when invoked, has power. It makes him mystically present. When the Israelite people were in trouble, God told Moses, invoke my name over the people. The name that God had given to Moses was I am. That name means God's presence. He wasn't I was. His God's name is not I will be. His name is I am. And where God is present, anxiety ceases. Where God is present, hope alone remains. So think about that now when you think about the name Jesus Christ. God is my salvation and my king. Here in the first reading, we hear St. John say that everyone who acts in righteousness is begotten by God. Begotten is not a word that we use very often anymore, not in common parlance in English. To beget means to make something that is equal to yourself. So if I were to make a table, if I were to make a chair, one would not say, I begot this table, right? Or I begot this chair. It's not equal to me. But when one has a child, you say, I begot a child, I begot a son, I begot a daughter. Whoever acts in righteousness is begotten by God. In a sense, the Word is made flesh all over again. So, you know, we go about our mundane days doing our mundane tasks, but if you recall the name of Jesus Christ and act in his righteousness, nothing that you do is mundane. If you recall the name of Jesus Christ and act in his righteousness, God himself is working through you. Something to keep in mind as you go about your ordinary day and your ordinary week and your ordinary month and your ordinary year with all your ordinary plans. If we turn that over to God in faith, especially invoking the name of the Lord, invoking his presence, drawing down his power in us, nothing that we will do is ordinary. It'll truly become Anno Domini, not my year, but the year of the Lord. Something to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, as we act in faith, we pray that God will work through us, that the Word might be made flesh all over again. Amen.